Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. Very familiar passage here in the Word of God, Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 35 through 41 of Mark chapter 4. Verse 40 is our text verse today. Mark chapter 4. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read responsively. I'll read and then you read verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4. In the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and saying unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Verse number 40, let's read that together. That's our text verse this morning. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Our Heavenly Father, sure do need you this morning. I pray, God, that you just clear my mind. I pray you give me clarity this morning. I pray, dear God, that your message would be heard. Pray, God, that we'd come with an open heart, desiring to get something from your word, to be encouraged, to leave here and excited to serve you, Lord. I pray, God, whatever heartaches, whatever fears, whatever situations may be going on in the minds of our people, in the hearts of our people, that right now their souls would be settled for a little while, and that they'd be encouraged, they'd feast off the riches of your unsearchable grace here. I pray, God, that you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message, of course, is found in verse number 4. Why are ye so fearful? Very simple, practical message this morning. I want to try to help you. I know there's probably some of you here, you face some fears, and you maybe are facing some fears right now, or maybe you haven't faced any fears yet, but let me just say this, you will. The word fear means unpleasant after strong emotion caused by anticipation of awareness and danger. Start out with this quick illustration. We know the story here, and I'll walk through it in just a moment. You know, there was one particular time, there's many other times that I could use, but I haven't told this story in a little while, that I was very fearful. I mean, I was scared to death. I was working on a dairy farm in Ohio at one time in my life. I was working for a dairy farmer out there. I was going to Bible college. I went to Bible college for a year there back in 1990. And me having the farm experience, I needed to get a job course to pay my way. I got him. He was sitting right there on my shoulder. Anyway, I happened to look. What's that? Anyways, praise, where was I? It's better than praise, no. And to pay my way through college, I was working on a dairy farm. Of course, I grew up on a dairy farm and so forth. And I knew all the dangers that can happen on a dairy farm. I remember my dad, as growing up as a kid, he said, stay away from the bulls. Now, this is my bull story. I mean, some of you may have heard this, but stay away from the bulls. Just don't even get near them. They'll wander the pasture. If you leave them alone, generally they will leave you alone. And so anyways, I was milking my way through college, amen? So that's what I was doing. I was milking cows, and I was a big dairy farm out there, huge dairy farm, bigger than I'd ever seen. It was bigger than ours in Maine. They had the freestall system. It was more modern, if you will. We had the old tie-up. I don't know if you understand all that, the old tie-up system where the cows would come in, kids too, cows would come in and hitch them into a stall and so forth. But this was freestall, and you'd gather them in a pen, then you'd open up two side doors. You'd be down in a little parlor. You'd be below them, so to speak, and then they'd come in, and milked about six on each side and so forth. Make a long story short, he had about 200 cattle, head of cattle that he milked, and I had third shift, and I'd always go, of course, I'd go out in the pasture, I'd round them up, here, boss, and call them to the pen and so forth, the holding pen, getting ready for milking. But in the midst of that, them cows was a bull. And this bowl was the most unusual bowl in the world. I mean, most unlikely, unusual bowl in the world. And I remember my dad always saying, stay away from the bowls. Stay away from the bowls. Don't get near the bowls. Just stay away from them. You leave them alone, they'll generally leave you alone. And so I did, I knew that. I mean, common sense says stay away from the bowls, and I'd go ahead and gather the cows. But this bowl was rather unique. He was a little bit too friendly. I don't know, maybe he just was a little bit too friendly. He would literally would come up, and he'd want to be patted. And I'd go ahead and I'd pat him. I mean, after a while, I mean, I couldn't leave him. He'd just follow me around, and I don't know, maybe he was a little bit different, you know. But anyways, but I follow, you know, and I, after a little while, I just start patting him. And you know, after months, just started patting him and kept on, you know, and he'd always come and run into you like a, no joke, like a little dog. Just said, wow, okay. And so I just patted him. Anyways, make a long story short, I went to work one day, went out and gathered the cows and so forth, and the bull was out in the pasture and started running after me like he had been doing all along. And I realized that this was just not, after a little run, he was far, quite a ways away, big field, big pasture, and he was not in his usual stride. He was running a little bit faster than normal. And I go, and it's the same bull, and I go, okay. And I will say this ahead of time, I thank God he did not have horns. Otherwise, I'd have been gone, literally. But he was dehorned. But anyways, but this bull was not going your same old stride. Matter of fact, you could see the eyeballs a little bit more ferocious, and you could see him a little bit more, he was not a happy camper, so to speak. And I remember seeing that bull, and I was so scared. I knew what that bull, it was a Holstein bull, I knew what that bull had the power to do. I was fearful. And I remember seeing that bull, and I was saying, and I was running back, and, you know, of course, he running faster than I, he went ahead and he grabbed a hold of me right here. And he literally threw me, and this is no joke, probably from here, at least halfway back to the auditorium. Just bucked me that far. I never was so scared in my life. And church, no, there's no joke, he went ahead and ran by. I thought, okay, he did his thing. I'm here. I am. I'm laying there. I'm in pain and so forth. He turns around and he tramples me, literally. He just turns around, tramples me. I go, you know, I survived that. And there was a hay wagon, a feed wagon, just about probably from here to the rail. I just was so close to that rail, but I, you know, and I saw him going to do the same thing. So I just, in all pain, I darted underneath that wagon. I leaned up against the tire. I said, God, what has happened to me? But I remember I was so fearful. You know, that bull could have killed me, literally. And had it been horned, it probably would have. The doctor said, you are very lucky. He could have gored you. You could have been gored to death had it been a horned bull. But I remember, you know, as a young man, I was just married, and I was under there, and I didn't know what that bull was going to do. I was scared to actually get out. Finally, the bull did go ahead, and it did get amongst the cattle. The cattle was in the holding pen. And by the way, I did finish my job that night. I got up. I was in so much pain. I finished the job milking. But I sat there for about 15 minutes and said, God, I mean, I was shaking. I was scared. I didn't know whether the enemy, if you will, was still out there. But like I said, after a while, I saw it run off and go with the crowd, if you will. But I was fearful. You know, let me just, I say that in maybe kind of a jovial story, a happy story, a funny story, if you will. I wasn't very happy at the time. But I say that saying, you know, I was fearful. I was fearful for my life. And we sit here this morning, you know what? You have feared some things as well. Maybe you have faced death. You have feared some things. I remember when my wife was going into the hospital and she had cancer. And I remember taking her at about 5 o'clock in the morning. Her surgery was around 6:30. Taking her at 5 o'clock in the morning, just hit her and I. And I was scared. And I think she was a little bit scared too, cancer surgery and so forth. And I know she was a whole lot tougher than me. She didn't show it. But I, in my heart, I mean, I just, my emotions were so mixed. I was fearful. I was fearful, and I remember, you know, when she laid down and they were getting ready to roll her away, the tears coming down my eyes. I said, God, I want to see that girl again. I was fearful, and the doctor said everything's going to be fine, and I thank God for the technology today, and I thank God for the health of my wife today. But the truth of the matter is we all face fears. Fear is a strong emotion caused by anticipation and awareness of danger. Fear, the title of my message is, Why Are Ye So Fearful? Why are ye so fearful? Fear is an emotion that if you're not careful, if you succumb to it, it will drive you from the will of God. I remember when my wife was rolled away into that surgery that morning and so forth. And there was, I've told this story a little bit here. There was times I said, God, why is this happening? Why would this happen to me? In my heart was all these emotions, and I was fearful for my wife. And once you have cancer in the family, if you've got it in the family, if you've got loved ones in the family, and if they're in remission, you always still wonder, will it come back? And you know what? And that's a little fear that I kind of have to keep tucked inside and just totally give to the Lord every single day, because I do fear if my wife has a fever or different things. You know, there are times that I fear. Did it come back again? You know, I have that fear. And the truth of the matter, I remember when she rolled away, and I was saying, God, why would this happen? Why did this happen? God, I've been serving you. I've been full-time serving you. Why did this happen? And there was a little space of time after surgery and a few months after everything, and after I buzzed off her hair, you know, her hair started falling out due to the chemo, and that was a very difficult time for her, but it was for me too. And there was a little space of time there that I asked God why, and I was fearful, and I said, boy, Lord, I want this chemo to work. I want my wife to live. I want her to stay alive. God, please let this all come together. Please just take care of my wife. Please don't let anything happen. But there's a little space of time that I let my fears go ahead and draw me away from where God wanted me to be. You know, there was a little space of time that I went ahead, and I'll have to admit, you know, I kind of asked what the disciples asked here. Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, the disciples here, you know, they've been working all day long. They've been serving God. It was a long day. The Bible says in 35, in the same day, you read all the passages before, you see the miracles that were performed. You see Jesus preaching, and all these disciples are actively serving and so forth. And it was a very, very, very long day. Now Jesus says, hey, let's go on over to the other side. They board the ship. They were all weary. Obviously, Jesus was weary. He's back in the hinder part of the ship. He is asleep. And no doubt them disciples, they were tired. They were just kind of sitting around nibbling on something, fellowshipping, maybe talking about the day. I don't know. But you know, all of a sudden the storm came. The Bible says, and there arose a great storm. Everything was calm at first. Boy, maybe they were testifying. Boy, the little boys and girls that got saved. Maybe the wonderful things that happened. Seeing families change for Christ. They've seen and experienced a whole lot of things. They've been busy serving. They were sweating. They were serving Jesus Christ. They were doing what God wanted them to do, and then the calm of the storm, they board the ship. Surely this will be an easy voyage. They're going to go to the other side, and then all of a sudden, maybe in the midst of their conversation, maybe they were just laying down, they were talking, and they were just about ready to doze off to sleep, for Jesus had already gone ahead and fallen asleep. But all of a sudden, the boat starts getting a little bit wavy. The waves start kind of crashing up on the boat. The boat starts rocking back and forth, if you will, to and fro. And all of a sudden, the Bible says there arose a great storm. And the Bible says here that they got scared. And the Bible says here they questioned Jesus. Master, carest not thou that we perish? You understand what's going on outside? Hey, we're going to die out here. Hey, what's happening here, Jesus? You know, they were busy serving. No doubt. The Bible says here, Jesus asked, why are you so fearful? Oh, Jesus, do you understand? You know, look at this ship. It's falling apart. Waves are coming. Water's coming in. It's a big storm out there. Why are you so fearful? I'll get to that in just a moment. But they were busy, just like you. Maybe they were busy. You're teaching a Sunday school class. You run a bus route. You maybe work a nursery. You're busy raising your family. You get up on a Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday, Friday, work 40, 50 hours a week. You go to work. You're busy. You're busy serving your wife or your husband. You're busy serving your children, raising your children. You're perhaps busy involved in the church. You're in your place, sitting in a pew this morning. You're faithful to church. You're busy, busy, busy serving God. You have a time with God. You have a walk with God, but after a long day, after a busy time, all of a sudden the storm comes, doesn't it? All of a sudden you just kind of wonder, just like I did. You know, everything was very calm early on in my life there in the ministry. I mean, I'm not saying everything was wonderful. We certainly had our valleys, but the biggest valley was that cancer, and I got real scared. I remember as a young man, 20-year-old man, boy, let me tell you something. I was literally, no joke, I was facing death from that bull. That bull literally could have killed me. I remember leaning up against that tire, and I was shaking. I was scared. You know, and by the way, all of you, you could testify. I no doubt you, if you stood behind this piece of wood right here, you could say, boy, I remember a time when I was scared. I remember when I was fearful. I remember when I was anticipating some danger. There was an awareness of danger. I remember maybe the storm of your life came and you just didn't know what to do. You just didn't feel like I could hang on anymore. And you might become like one of these disciples. Master, do you even care that we perish? You're down there sleeping away, and do you even care that we perish? Let me just answer that with a yes. He cares where you are this morning. He cares about every single need that you bear. He cares about every bill that you have to pay. He cares about every person in your household. He cares about every single need that you have this morning. But you gotta go ahead and trust him, church. You got to learn to go ahead and trust him. Don't you go ahead and bail out on God. Don't you start questioning God. This is what they did for a minute. Hey, do you even care, Jesus? The truth of the matter is, and I say it, if the sermon was ended right here, he cares. I know he cares. Oh, yes, does Jesus care? Yes, he does care, as the song says. You know what? After a long day of serving, Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. They boarded the ship. There was a storm arose during the voyage. It was a great storm of wind. The waves were beating in the ship, and the sea got choppy. The ship was tossing to and fro. The waves were so high that water could be going into the ship. The disciples were no doubt were just as tired of Jesus, as Jesus, if you will. They were tired. They were beat from the work. They were doing now this. It's been a long day. I'd like to go ahead and sleep and have some calm for a little while. And now this storm. And let me ask you a question, church. When it comes, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to start questioning Jesus? You're going to start questioning his word? You're going to start doubting the preaching of the word of God? You're going to start bailing out on that Sunday school class? You're going to start bailing out on that bus route? You're going to start bailing out on raising your children for the cause of Christ. You're going to bail out on your marriage, all things that are wholesome and all things that are right, all things that are your responsibility. What are you going to do? Go ahead and bail out on God. You're going to start shaking your fist and say, God, do you even care? And I say it again, yes, he does care. This morning, why are you so fearful? The disciples, they were tired. Could they have thought some of the same things that we do? This isn't fair. We serve and we serve and we serve. Now look at where we are. The ship is in danger of shipwreck. I know by experience when one loses their faith, they start doubting. You know what? That's exactly what you do. When you start losing your faith and your dependence upon God, you start wondering, God, do you even care where I am right now? God, do you even know what I'm going through? Yes, he does know what you're going through. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He knows exactly. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows your health situation. He knows your bill situation. He knows about the economy. Oh, I'm so shook up about the economy. God's in control this morning. God's in control. God knows exactly what's going to happen in our nation. God knows what's going to happen in this world. What about Iran? God knows he's in control. What about Iraq? God knows he's in control. What about Afghanistan? Hey, everything's all right in my Father's house. You know what? You may feel like you may be waiting for a doctor's report. You may be waiting for some sort of, you may not have been feeling well. You went to the doctor and you're waiting for some doctor's report. Let me tell you something. Everything's all right in my Father's house. You may not have enough money in a month. Go ahead and pay your bills. You may have more month than money. Let me just say this. Everything's all right in my Father's house. You may be sick this morning. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And all of these things that may be kind of falling down around you, they're shaking you up. They're causing you to fear. They're causing you to almost ready just to go ahead and let go and say, it's not worth it anymore. It's not worth it anymore. Hey, I plead with you, don't you give up on God. God knows right where you are this morning. Don't you doubt him. You start losing your faith. You start doubting. Doubt and faith does not go hand in hand. You start questioning, is this really worth it? You start questioning, is church really worth it? You start questioning, is serving God really worth it? You start questioning, is door knocking and soul winning really worth it? You start, maybe you start being ridiculed for the cause of Christ and you wonder, is this really worth it? You go ahead and you go to work. They know that you're a Christian. They ought to know that you're a Christian, amen? They ought to know that you're a Christian. They ought to know, see something different about you. And yes, you may go ahead and suffer a little bit of ridicule. You may suffer a little bit of mockery. But let me tell you something. It's nothing compared to what Jesus suffered.
And we'll go ahead and we'll complain about it. And I don't misunderstand, but we don't like mockery. We don't like ridicule. But don't you go ahead and give up because someone may make fun of you because you go to church. Hey, public school teenager, don't you give up on God simply because you feel like the pressure's too much and they make fun of you. You go ahead and you stand strong. You do all to stand. You put on the whole armor of God and you keep it on. Don't you quit on him. Christians start losing their faith. They start doubting. They start wondering if serving God is really worth it. And that fear will go ahead and fuel that doubt. That fear will fuel that doubt to a point where, if you're not careful, serving God's a hassle. You know, I know people right now, thinking of a young man right now, fine young man too. He's not living in deep sin today. He's called to be a preacher. I know he's called to be a preacher. He said, I know I'm called to be a preacher. There's no one in this church. Another, it was up in Maine. Fine young man. Had the privilege of seeing him grow up through my youth group. Went off to Bible college and said, man, preacher, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to go to Howard Anderson College. I'm going to go ahead and serve God full time in my life. Talked to him just recently. He's 3 credits shy of graduating. He didn't go back this semester. I go, what's the matter, man? What's the matter? He says, nothing. He said, something's wrong. And he says, Pastor Weeks, he says, I'm scared. I said, man, what you scared of? He says, man, I watched, you know, I got reflecting. I got looking Pastor, my preacher, his pastor, if you will, Pastor Christner. I got looking at some of the heartaches that you've gone through. I got looking at some of the load that the preacher carries. I got looking at some of the load that Brother Scott carries. I got looking at some of the men of God, and I said, I don't know if I can go ahead and handle it. I said, you know what? I said, you're right. I said, you can't handle it. And you know, he admitted it. His admission was, I'm scared. I'm scared. You know, 3 more credits, and then I'm going to be lunged, if you will, into the ministry somewhere full time. I said, man, that's awesome. But he said, Pastor Weeks, I don't know if I can go ahead and. I said, you can do it. I said, you cannot do it on your own. You can't do it. You know, listen to me. I said, listen to me. I told him, I said, listen, you know, you cannot do it on your own. And he says, you know, he was crying at this time. He says, that's because I saw what you went through in 2006. And he says, I even heard you crying in your office over your wife one time. I said, yeah. I told him, I said, you know what, I had to come to a point. I said, you know what, you probably heard me at that one time because I was wailing in my eye at a little small office. And you probably walked through at a time where it was just me and God. And I said, I literally got on my face. And that might have been the time when I had to come to the realization that, man, I was kind of backing away. My fear was pulling me away from the will of God. And I said, I remember I was just wailing out to God. And I had to realize that I cannot do this by myself. You see, I had some doubts. See, I remember during that time, you know, I realized, you know, I'm a, you know how men are. Go around pretty tough. Everything's good. You know, and I was trying to be the macho man. I was trying to be the tough guy. Pastor Weeks, you okay? Yeah, I'm doing great. You doing all right? Yeah, I'm doing wonderful. Teenagers, come on. Hey, Pastor, you doing okay? Yeah, I'm doing wonderful, man. In my heart of hearts, I was beaten up. In my heart of hearts, I was beaten up. See, I was scared that if I go around, and it's true, you got to be careful, obviously. Woe is me. You know, obviously, you can go ahead and set a spirit. You know, a pretty bad spirit if you just go around, you know. But in my heart of hearts, yeah, I was trying to take care of the kids. Even though my pastor had told me, you know, you need to cut your load back from being a full-time servant, he says, you're going to still get paid full-time and everything. And I thank God for the grace and everything that my preacher showed. But he says, you know what, you got to take care of your wife. I don't want you here every single day for the next several months. But, you know, I still kind of bore some of that same schedule. I try to make sure that I met my ministry needs, but yet, just thinking of my kids, I got to make sure the kids are set, make sure they go to school, I got to make sure this, that, and everything else, got to make sure that we feed them chocolate cake every night, amen? No, but all the responsibilities, but what I'm trying to say, and I know I'm using a very personal illustration, very practical this morning, but I wonder maybe there's some of you, you know, you've been there, you are there, you're not, or you're going to go through it, and I hope you're learning something from it. But the truth of the matter is, if you go ahead and you succumb to fear, it will pull you away from what God wants you to be. It will. I saw it happen in my own life. This young man I was telling you about, you know what? He says, I'm scared. I'm scared that I'd be called to some assistant pastorate ministry or senior pastorate. I don't know if I can't handle it, if I can handle it. And I said, you cannot. Let me say this to you dads tonight, this morning, whatever time of the day it is. Let me just say this. You try to be the kind of dad, spiritual dad you ought to be. Be the kind of spiritual husband you ought to be. You go to work, walk with God as you know you ought to. You fulfill the responsibilities, work, pay the bills, do all that. Let me just say this. You can't do it by yourself. You know why it is that Christians start falling away? I think one big reason is they get fearful. They fear what may come ahead. They fear different situations, and they get fearful. And what happens is they succumb to that fear, and it pulls them away from the very place that you need to receive strength. I've seen it happen. If you're not careful, you could be sitting here with fear this morning, but you're not paying attention to a word that's being preached from the Word of God. You know why? Because you're focused on one thing. I'm here, I fulfilled my duty. Praise the Lord, I'm glad you did. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to leave Faith Baptist Church. Every time you darken the doors and you sit in your place, you don't have to leave Faith Baptist Church the same way you came. Why don't you go ahead and consider the fears and the trials and the heartaches that you maybe walk through them back doors. I don't know all that you're bearing this morning, but you and God do. Why don't you go ahead and say, okay, God, I need something from you. But see what's happened. If you've become so prone to fear, you kind of become hardened to it. It's just kind of a way of life. So, you know, I'll fulfill my duty. I'll go ahead and be in church once a week or twice a week or whatever the case may be. I'll go ahead and I'll darken the doors of the church. And I'll be in my place. But you're so focused on the outside world that you fail to go ahead and say on the way in, or Saturday night you ought to be preparing, God, you give me something from the Word of God tomorrow. God, you know what I'm going through. And it may be that you're on a mountaintop. It may be that things are going well, but you ought to go ahead and decide, hey, I'm going to come to church with a prepared heart. God, you go ahead and give me something. You give me something that'll give me strength. If you're in the valley today, if you're facing fear, whatever it may be today, we ought to come and die. When you walk through them doors, say, God, you give me something. Feed me something from the Word of God. Truth of the matter is, we're so hardened to our fear. It's just the way it is. You know what? My fear is never going to go. It seems like about the time I get through one little battle, one little heartache, you know what? Another one, you know what? That may be true. And you know what? And the devil's going to go ahead and keep feasting you all these things. He'll keep casting doubt. He'll throw people in your way saying, well, you know what? Seems like you've tried church. You know how it is. People go ahead and say, you know, it seems like you keep on going through problems. You say, well, I'll go to church and I'll go ahead and read my Bible and I'll go ahead and serve God. Everything's going to be okay and so forth. But, you know, if you're not careful, the devil will go ahead and throw some critics in the way, saying, you know what, it's kind of a hassle to go to church. Why don't you just forget it? Just do your own thing. Hey, what I'm saying, what I'm asking this morning, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful this morning? Has that fear gone ahead and brought on doubt? Have you started wondering, hey, is the Bible really true? Have you started questioning the will of God? Have you started questioning authority? I'm talking about godly authority, the preacher, the deacons, the Sunday school teacher, godly mama and daddy child. It seems that when one starts doubting, that the wrong people just kind of pop up all of a sudden. When you start getting so fearful in these situations and so scared about certain things. And by the way, it's a normal emotion to get fearful. But the problem is when we succumb to it. And if we go ahead and we succumb to it and we don't go ahead and just give our fears, our anxieties, or casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's what He says to do. You got a world full of cares this morning, church. You know what? If we went ahead and if I could go ahead and have you just write out all the cares that you had and just throw it here at the altar, it'd be probably pretty stacked up this morning. You know what Jesus says? Take your cares and cast them at me. Take your burden to the Lord and take it with you. No. Leave it there. Saying, why don't you come unto me? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, what's happened is we've become so hardened to fear. We've become so hardened to all this, all that goes along with fear, that we just feel like, you know what? I've lost my faith. Here's godly people, the disciples. I don't know what they were doing prior as they got on that boat. I don't know. Give me a little liberty as I speculate. Could they have been just chatting about the day and the wonderful events of that day? A long day, by the way. They were tired. Kind of like the big days around here. You're weary after a long day. You know, after this weekend soul winning and pushing and pushing and pushing. And boy, you know, it's nice just about when the last amen on a Sunday. Yes, bedtime. Woo! You know what you're talking about. You know, and you're busy serving. But you know, after a long day like that, after a long weekend, you know what, oftentimes before I go to bed, we'll sit around the table on a Sunday evening. We'll be talking about it. And that's why here these godly men, the disciples, maybe they were just talking about, you know, they were just kind of talking about all that happened that day. And you can read about the message that Jesus preached and all that happened prior to this account right here. You know, all was pretty calm. Perhaps there was some smiles because of some boy and girl getting saved. You know, seeing, boy, busy serving. Hey, John, it was great. Hey, Peter, it was great today, wasn't it? Oh, I'm tired. Yeah, boy, let's lay out our little sleeping sack and we're going to go to bed. But, boy, you know, boy, we ought to thank God for all that He's done. And then, you rolled up your sleeves, you went to work, and you were busy, 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 serving the Lord, raising your family, doing busy, busy, busy. But that calm all of a sudden becomes a storm. And what happens? You start questioning God. Do you even care, God, that we're here? God? Served you all day long, and this is what happens. Let me tell you something. That's exactly where the devil wants you. He'd like to go ahead and take you from here down to here and get you to a point where you succumb to the fear. Why are ye so fearful? He'd love to go ahead and say, God doesn't care. Hey, if God cared for you, you wouldn't be in this storm. God cared for you, you'd go ahead and make, you'd be able to make ends meet. God cared for you, you'd be able to drive the finest cars and the finest home, live in the finest home. You'd have it all. Just say this. Doesn't matter where you are this morning, you do have it all in Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go ahead and I want to encourage you this morning. A little fearful, aren't you? Some of you. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know about that doctor, what the doctor's report might say. Maybe you felt some pains and you are scared to go to the doctor and you just don't know. Maybe there's some bills and you just, a bill came in the mail unexpectedly. Happens, doesn't it? Where is this going to come from? Well, I give my tithe and I serve God. God, why is this happening to me? Boy, let me tell you something. The moment you ask God why, you know what? There's one person that's excited. The devil is. Why is this happening, God? Why is my ship being tossed to and fro? Why is everything kind of falling down around me? Why, God? God, do you even really care? And I'm going to say that, answer that with a simple yes, he does. Let me just give you a few reasons. Why the storm? Why the storm? Number one, it may be to strengthen you spiritually. You know, it may be that God's trying to wake you up. It may be that you've gone ahead and you wandered far away from God, and he's now asking you and inviting you, now it's time to come home. Maybe like the prodigal son. You go went ahead and you wasted all your living and so forth. You've been saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And God may say, you know what? I've had enough is enough is enough. And you've gone ahead and wasted, and now you're living in the pig pen of life. And now you're saying it's time to come home. It may be that God's trying to show you something. It may be that you need to be strengthened spiritually. Grow, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It may be that he wants to try to strengthen you. Maybe that he wants to try to grow you. It may be that you've gotten complacent in the Christian life. All's well. It's pretty easy to do that too. It's amazing how we need God when we're down there. All of a sudden we cry, God, help me. Well, you know what? We ought to be begging God for help even when we're on the mountaintop. We ought to be absorbing the good things of God even when we're on the mountaintop. You know what? The truth of the matter is, we're on the mountaintop. You ought to be consistent on the mountaintop. You ought to be consistent with your walk with God in the valley. And all along the way, you ought to be like a sponge, if you will, absorbing the good things of God and absorbing the sermons that you may think, hey, I don't need it right now. But let me tell you something. This sermon may not be needed for you right now, but I guarantee you down the road it will. Down the road, you know what, you may not be facing any fears right now, but let me tell you something, there's going to be some fears that will come your way, and when that fear comes, and you just don't know what to do, what are you going to do? Who are you going to run to? You're going to run to God? Or you're going to succumb to that fear and say, well, God doesn't even know I'm here. God doesn't even care. Hey, listen to me, you ought to be like a sponge, you ought to absorb every sermon, you ought to absorb every private devotional time with Jesus Christ. You ought to be absorbing. When you're on the mountaintop, you ought to get up every morning, same time, same place, walk with God. When you're halfway down in the valley, you get up every morning, same time, same place, walk with God. When you're down in the valley, you get up every morning, same time, same place, walk with God. You know why? Because you know how you go ahead and you make it through the valley? Because you've got some absorbing in there. You have gone ahead and absorbed the unsearchable riches of Christ so that when you do get down there, you've got enough to go ahead and sustain you. You know, we quit. We lose sight of our focus on the will of God because of fear. And sometimes simply because we're operating on a dry sponge. Dry sponge is really worthless when you think about it. A dry sponge, you know what? When you go ahead and you dip that sponge into warm water and soap and so forth, it's you use it to go ahead and clean, do whatever. You know what? Every single day, it doesn't matter whether you're here, down here. It doesn't matter whether you're going through fearful times or whether you're not going through fearful times. You need to be consistent with God every single moment. Why is it that you could be going through it? Could be that he's trying to strengthen you spiritually. It could be that he's trying to go ahead and show you some things. Maybe you've gotten a little bit complacent. All is well, and you get complacent. Spiritually, you're hungry. You haven't feasted. You haven't decided to feast upon the manner of the Word of God in a long time. I talked a little bit about that with that sponge illustration, but you've chosen not to go ahead and feast upon the book. You've chosen to maybe get away because all has gone pretty well. You don't fulfill your weekly duty or your duties by getting in church. You don't go ahead and pay attention, if you will, in church. You don't go ahead and absorb the messages of the Word of God. You don't find your prayer closet. God sees something in you that needs to be cut out. It may be some sin there. He wants to strengthen you spiritually. Maybe why the storm? But maybe there's some sin there that he's got the pruning knife out and he wants to cut it away so that you can become fruitful. So that you can become stronger. It may be the storm is to help you be aware
that you cannot live this life alone. I said that just a moment ago. You know what? Trouble comes when you start going ahead and driving yourself. I'm talking about the spiritual life. You know what? You ought to, Christian today, if you think, I've got the reins, I'm my own man, you know, you ought to just decide. You know what? I'm going to move over. I'm going to let God take the reins of my life. You know, the storm may be simply because you've gotten a little bit too haughty, maybe a little bit too high-minded. I am too good for this or too good for that, or pride has set in and you've kind of got the reins of your life. And it may be that he's trying to help you be aware, you know what, you can't live this life by yourself. You know, the greatest life is the Christian life. Amen. You know, you think about it. You know, just stop and think for just a little while, just a moment. We're not going to hell today because we're saved. Boy, God has given us the tools necessary to equip us to go ahead and fight in the battles and win the struggles and fears. He's given us the holy word of God, preserved word of God. He's given us a church. I thank God for the church, the fellowship of the church. He's given me my friends. He's given me godly people. He's given me preachers. He's given me people to encourage me. You know what? It may be the storm has come simply because you've kind of got the reins of your life and God says, move over, buddy. Let me take all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. Boy, this is a tough one. I freely. Okay, God. You want my coat? I give it to you. You want everything that I have? I give it to you, God. Why the storm? Maybe that he's trying to help you be aware that you can't do this by yourself. What some do when the storm comes, they'll quit. We've talked a lot about that. They'll go ahead and give up on God. They run the other way. What some will do in the midst of the storm is they'll run to the world. I've tried this Christianity. I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to do this. I thank God that when you sincerely got saved, nobody can take that away. But I've also seen some Christians that are saved so as by fire. They chose never to grow. They chose to never go ahead and take the next step. Maybe that first step of obedience, which after you get saved, that first step of obedience after salvation is baptism by immersion. The Bible teaches that. And you chose not to grow. You chose to get out of church. You chose not to get yourself a King James Bible, read the Word of God every day. You chose whatever the case may be. And so, and you've never grown, so you run back to the world. And let me tell you something, and it's a dead end. Keep running to drugs, you keep running to alcohol, you keep running to booze and so forth. Let me tell you something, it's a dead end. It's a dead end. Hey, you know what? People, when they go through the storm, they'll quit and they'll run to the world. They'll go ahead and run the other way. Let me just give you a few thoughts. Number one, the storm will either make you or break you. Why don't you go ahead and let it make you a better Christian today? You may have walked through the church this morning and got a few doubts. Got a few doubts about this. Got a few doubts about him. Got a few doubts. Simply because you're fearful, simply because you're through the storm and you're in the storm and you just don't know where to turn. Let me ask you, let me just go ahead and challenge you this morning. Why don't you let it make you a better Christian today? Why don't that storm that you're going through maybe right now or that you may go through eventually, why don't it cause you more to flee to the Word of God than it does the box that's in the middle of your living room? Why don't it go ahead and cause you to flee more to your knees instead of more to whatever, running here to and fro? Why don't it cause you to go ahead and flee to Him? You know, don't let it go ahead and break you. Let the storm make you. Realize all storms, praise the Lord for this, they're temporal. You know, we're only here for a little while. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door. Lord, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, I'm not home today. My
physical homes over there. It's just a little while. Wouldn't it be nice, you know? God the Father, he's preparing a mansion for me. And if you're saved today, you know what? He's preparing a mansion for you. Boy, what a beautiful place. Thank God for this physical home that he's given me, but boy, won't it be nice to attain that spiritual home? Won't it be nice to attain the spiritual home that's under the construction of a perfect person, God? Think about how perfect that home's going to be. There's not going to be any dust in the corners. I don't think there will be any little dust bunnies under the bed. I don't even know if people have a bed. Amen. I don't know. You know, but I know one thing. Hey, listen. When you get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, come on over and we'll have a party together. Amen. Serve God together. Won't it be wonderful? You know what? The storms of this life are just temporal. It's just a little while. It's just a little while. Remember, you don't have to go through the storm alone. Hey, disciples, you need to understand something. A little fearful, a little scared. Maybe a lot fearful, maybe a lot scared here. But you need to recognize who's on the ship with you. Oh, he's asleep down there, but realize the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is down to hinder power of the ship. Hey, disciples, guess what? You're not going through it by yourself. Church, this morning, you don't have to go through it by yourself. He'll never leave you, forsake you. The Bible says in Psalm 23:3, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You don't have to go through it by yourself. You don't have to go through that dark tunnel by yourself. He's with you. He's always with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And the storm may be just what Jesus is allowing you to recognize his greatness again. A little repetitious there. But let me just ask you a question. You know what? Maybe you've just gone ahead and you've entered into some storm. You've just entered into some big fear of your life. And right now, maybe you're just at the beginning stages of things being a little bit fuzzy, a little bit dark in your life. You're a little scared. You start not seeing things clearly. You're not really focused upon the will of God and the Lord very clearly here. It may be that storm might be him trying to go ahead and get you, because you started, if you will, backtracking a little bit. It might be he's just trying to get you to recognize him again. Pay attention to him again. He wants to be with you. And you know, the storm, at the end of the storm, there's a calm. Let me just say this, if you're going through this morning, you know the calm will come. The disciples went down there. Master, carest thou not that we perish? I don't think they were just, Master. I think they were scared. They were, Master! How can you sleep through all this? You know, but the Bible says here, he arose, he rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace! Be still. The calm will come. You know, oftentimes we'll quit just before it comes on. We want it on our time frame, don't we? I want my bills paid now! Well, maybe God's trying to show you something. But don't quit. I want this now! I want my health back now! I want... We're very impatient. Maybe the calm will come just like that. But maybe you'll be drawn out for almost a whole year, as it did in our cancer battle. Maybe you'll go out drawn out a whole year. Well, wasn't it awesome? My wife went back a year later and said, you're 1 year cancer-free. You know, the calm came. Sure, listen, as is life, there's anxiety. This anxiety, I'll say, in our personal little storm that you know, is it going to come back? That disease going to come back? As is in your life, there will be another battle. I wish I could say, is going to be battle-free for the rest of your life. I'd be lying if I said that. But what I'm trying to say is, at the right moment, Jesus will arise up and say, peace. And boy, what a nice feeling that is when that comes. And let the battles and the storms of life, got to learn from them. All too often we'll go through it and we finally get through it and we might leave on the other end with a little bit of a critical spirit. I can't believe it, you know, but you got through it. God help you see, maybe help see you through it, and you got through it with a bad attitude, but I still can't believe this happened. Well, you know what? When the battle comes, you ought to just decide. God, you ought to ask him, God, what can I learn from this? God, teach me something. Okay, I'm in it. By the way, once you're in it, don't fight it. Nothing you can do about it. Just go through it and just follow the Savior. Amen? But when you do get through it, or even as you are going through it, instead of having a critical spirit, why don't you turn it over and say, God, teach me something from this. Because I want to be able to teach the younger generation. I want to be able to teach my children something as a result of the battle. I want to teach my Sunday school class. I want to teach the next generation. I want to be able to, God, you give me the strength to go ahead and get through this. But may the fact that I get through this be strength for somebody else who later on may go through. Don't let a bad spirit, Lord, don't let me have a bad spirit in the midst of this, because I don't want people to see my bad spirit as I go through it, so that when they go through it, they'll, you know, start whining. You ought to say openly, God, ask openly, God, teach me. Teach me something. Teach me something about cancer. Teach me something so that I can maybe help minister to others down who may face it later on. You know, as a husband that went through cancer with a wife who had it, I've been able to go ahead and help other husbands or spouses. We had a spouse that went through it. You know why? Because they went through it. And I saw the goodness of God through it all. So therefore, I was able to go ahead and take that and teach somebody else, hey, listen, this is how you're going to get through this thing. Hey, you know what? Learn from it. I say often, don't squander your battles. Don't squander it. Just don't, you know, take it, absorb something, learn something, so that you can teach others. I don't know where you are this morning. A little fearful? Disciples had a long day. Busy serving, busy ministering. Jesus certainly had a long day. He was tired. He said, let's pass over to the other side. He went to the hinder part of the ship. He fell asleep. No doubt the disciples were tired just as well. Perhaps they were just getting ready to doze off and they were reflecting on the day. But then all of a sudden the storm came. And they got scared. Asked a couple questions. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind. Peace, be still. And then he asks a question. Why are ye so fearful? And there's one big thought that I mentioned earlier. You know what? Jesus was with them all along. You may be fearing for your life or whatever this morning, but guess what? Jesus is with you all along. Our Heavenly Father. I sure do love you. God, I just took an account of your scripture, of your book. This bore my heart a little bit this morning to my people. And I pray, dear God, that maybe it encouraged somebody. If it encouraged one, then the job got done. But even though, Lord, this message may not have been for everybody today, unfortunately, Lord, we will face some fears down the road. We will face some battles. We'll face some heartaches, some disappointments, illness, who knows.
Maybe we're not facing anything like that right now, but we will, and I pray, dear God, that we'll know what to do when the time comes. I pray, dear God, that strength, that faith would be strengthened this morning. Maybe there's someone here, they're going through it, and their faith is a little rattled this morning. Beginning to get a little critical. Beginning to maybe start questioning you and your purpose a little bit, and their fear is beginning to draw them away. I pray, dear God, that if there's someone that's not gone through it, that they'll absorb the truth of your word this morning and apply it to their hearts so that when they do, they'll just know exactly how to handle it. Help us, Lord, that if we're going through the battle this morning, help us to understand that in your time, you'll step up and you'll say, peace, be still. Calm fears this morning. I know that some can look at our nation and our world today and see some of the fears and see some of the kind of anxious about certain things that's happening in the political world. But Lord, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We also know that everything's all right in our Father's house. Holy Spirit, may your will be done this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here today, the preacher, God spoke to my heart. That's just what I needed this morning. Been a little fearful. I've been a little anxious, and my faith's been a little bit rattled. Preacher, would you please pray for me? That's me. Just raise your hand, and I'll pray for you. I won't call you by name, but that's me. My faith's been rattled, but would you please pray for me? You may put your hands down. Maybe here today, and I didn't talk a whole lot about it, but you know what? I know a Savior that can go ahead and give you a peace that passes all understanding. It may be that you're here today and you don't even know the God of peace. You don't even know this Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe that if you're to die today, you do not know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven. Let me tell you this, once you ask Christ into your heart and save you, you know what? That's where peace begins, literally. Maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but would you please pray for me? I won't call you by name, but I just want to pray for you. That's me. Would you please pray for me? I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but would you please pray for me? Our Heavenly Father, I ask you now to bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this message this morning. I thank you for your word. Thank you for preaching, Lord. Thank you for a pastor that loves us and cares about us. And Lord, thank you for knowing what we need and what we need to hear. Each one of us deals with fear, and I pray just bless this message to our hearts and take it with us as we go out this week. Thank you for today. Thank you for the buses. I pray just bless a good, safe ride home. In Jesus' name, amen.